or built a flying machine.
The SecMen at the table shivered again at the notion, and tried to force the image from their minds of airwags and falling bombs. The quartermaster looked as if he would be physically ill, then rushed from the room with a hand covering his mouth. Openly, Kinnison scowled at the public show of weakness, but privately, he agreed wholeheartedly. Death from above. The words brought visions of Skydark, and that was enough to break the spirit of any sane man. Just then, a serving girl hurried into the dining hall and whispered something to one of the SecMen in charge of the black powder mills. The man gave her a small pouch of powder in return.
Excellent. Lord Baron, since your health is on the mend, I found a special gift for you, which I am sure you will enjoy.
Really?
Kinnison's hand crept under the table to finger the trigger of the shotgun hidden there. After the revolt, the Baron trusted nobody and nothing fully. Nor would he ever again. There was an old phrase that his father had once used. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, die screaming, motherfucker. The doors were opened by armed men, who stood aside to let a fisherwoman from the Ville walk into the room. She was old, but not aged, maybe 40 years old, with a scattering of gray in her thick blonde hair. She walked with strength, and a full, womanly figure moved tantalizingly beneath her loose dress. Her clothing was worn and patched, but very clean, with no loose threads or ragged hems.
"Who's this, Langford? Some new slut for me to bed? A small gift indeed."
The woman stopped approaching at those words, and smiled in amusement at the fat baron.
"I will be the mother of your heir."
"You? I can mount 10 women a day if it pleases me, each more beautiful than you. Why should I mount you instead of throwing you to the dogs?"
"My name is Deirdre, and my brother stole a blaster. You lashed him for a day, then gave him your disease as a punishment. Fair enough, I suppose. But I tended to him for months before he finally died."
"Yes, I recall the incident. And you do resemble him somewhat. So what do you wish? A quick death from a firing squad? Or a supply of jolt to ease the terrible pain?"
"Examine my skin."
The SecMen in the room were alert as he waved her nearer and began to closely look at her face and arms. At first in contempt, then in wonder. In growing astonishment, he lifted her skirt to see underneath. The condition of her feet would tell the truth. But she was wearing nothing underneath, and Kinnison saw every inch of the firm, clean body. Her lean legs showed no stretch marks, her belly flat without wrinkled folds of loose skin.
"I'm a virgin."
"And immune. Langford, is this some sort of trick?"
"Never, my lord."
"Try me."
The woman took a small knife from the table and cut her forearm. She passed the baron the blade, handle first.
"Do the same and smear your blood on my wound. Nothing will happen."
As if moving in a dream, Kinnison started to cut his arm, then dropped the knife.
"Everybody out, including you, Lord Chancellor."
Sensing his urgency, the men and serving girls quietly withdrew. Once the Baron was alone with the woman, he stood and slid out a chair for her, in unaccustomed courtesy. Nodding in thanks, Deirdre sat and turned to face him directly, with no evasion or sideways glances. A person was simply looking at him of her own free will. Kinnison could scarcely believe it was happening. His last reserves against her beauty crumpled at the simple action, and he leaned forward eagerly.
"What are your terms, woman?"
"I become the Baroness. But if the first child is sick or not a boy, then you may chill me."
"That's all?"
"That's enough."
"Done."
"Shall we start?"
"What? Right here?"
"The sooner we begin, the sooner I am with your child."
She dropped the old dress to the floor. Deirdre looked magnificent in the candlelight, her smooth skin glowing with health. With a dry mouth, Kinnison shuffled to his feet and began removing his own clothing, wiping the grease from his fingers on the material. Let the Navy battle the pirates. Whichever side won, he didn't care anymore. This amazing woman was the answer to his prayers. Soon he would have a son, an heir, and his reign would continue for 1,000 years. For Lord Baron Kinnison, the war with the Outlanders was already over, and he was the absolute winner. During the sweaty coupling on the tabletop, the fat man didn't once notice the flick of a forked tongue between the lush lips of the muty female, even when she did it again, in the most unusual of places.
1,000 years. 1,000 fucking years.
Falling through the air, Jack angled the descent to protect his sprained ankle and landed heavily on his shoulders. Panting, he frantically rolled toward the wall and just barely avoided a small boar's rush, its tusks so new the bone extended straight out from its jaw like slim daggers. Scrambling over a corpse, Jack threw himself at the wall and drew the blaster, choosing a target. Then he quickly shifted aim and then again. Where was the big bastard? There he was. A huge boar. No, a big sow, twice the size of the other hogs, her shiny black coat streaked with white from old scars, one ear half chewed off. But the monstrous animal radiated an aura of power. She was the Baron of her brood, the absolute master. Aiming the unfamiliar weapon, Jack fired. The 44 mini-ball slammed into her side, knocking the big sow back, but not over. She squealed at the wound, sniffing at it with a twitching nose. Then she swung her head toward the albino and pawed the bloody mud, preparing to charge. Having no reloads, Jack dropped the blaster and grabbed the headless corpse from the sticky ground. Holding it as a shield, he backed into the corner of the pit and drew one of his stolen knives. Gold coins rained into the pit. The big sow rushed at Jack, her tusks slashing along the legs of the corpse. Pulling free, the animal seemed confused at the lack of reaction from the victim and lurched forward again, only to stop halfway, as if trying to lure out the cornered two-leg. Then she did it once too often, and Jack slashed her across the snout, splitting both nostrils wide open. The sow keened in shock and dashed madly about, slamming into her brethren and bouncing off the brick wall, the loss of smell affecting her more than blindness would to a human. While the beast attacked a smaller boar, Jack rummaged through the chilled pirate's filthy pockets, tossing aside the gold coins and cigs, but keeping the matches and a third knife. Testing the blade on a thumb, Jack found the edge dull, the balance barely acceptable, but it would serve. Choosing a target, he stepped from the wall and threw hard. In the grandstand, a laughing dandy waving a bottle went still as the blade took him in the belly. Gushing blood, the man dropped his bottle and, stumbling about, fell into the pit. He landed only 10 yards away, but the boars converged on the body, stomping the flesh under their sharp hooves and goring it with their pointed tusks. Behind his shield, Jack had eyes only for the pre-dark revolver in the man's gun belt. The loops were full of ammo, maybe even enough for the teenager to blast his way out of the pit. Across the muddy field was a small wooden gate in the wall, painted to resemble bricks. That was how he could get out. If only he could reach that blaster. Knife in hand, Jack started warily creeping forward, but the smaller boars drove him back into the corner, the flesh dangling off the corpse's legs until the bones showed from within. Angry noise came from the attendees, and most retreated from the pit, fearful of another attack by the prisoner.
Kill him! Shoot the bitch!
Knowing he stood no chance against those, Jack charged the boars, plowing through the smaller beasts until reaching the aced pirate. Ignoring the throbbing pain in his ankle, Jack heaved the headless corpse onto the big sow's tusks, the obstruction keeping her busy for a moment while he dug in the mud for the blaster.
Get him!
A movement to his left made the teen dodge, and the small boar just missed goring his stomach. Cocking the hammer of the muddy weapon, Jack aimed and fired. The .357 Magnum blaster roared, and the tiny male went motionless, then flopped to the ground, every breath squirting out a crimson arch. The blaster's noise clearly scared the animals, and they moved away from the Cajun warrior as Jack fumbled with the pirate's gun belt and finally dragged it free. Draping it over a shoulder, he watched with dismay as several rounds fell into the thick mud, but he kept creeping along the wall toward the gate.
He's trying to get away!
Mini-balls ricocheted off the brick wall around him. Jack fired twice, and a guard slumped out of sight, his arm gone from the elbow down. Jack cracked the cylinder and dumped the spent shells. Keeping on the move, he reloaded a single round and aced another officer in the grandstand, starting a riot in the attendees. removing the spent cartridge, he fully loaded the blaster and stuffed the two spare shells into his pants pocket. Turning for the gate, the albino flung himself sideways, the big sow only slamming into his sprained ankle, the